The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13th cycle's Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length in much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf, in Masechet Brachot, is Daf Nun Chet. We're holding on Nun Chet to Amud Beit. We're in the middle of the Sugya of Zikin. Remember, according to Rashi, Zikin is a reference to meteorites. According to many of the others, before Shem, Zikin is a reference to comets. So we just learned that Shmuel said that Zikin is a kokova de shavit, and that it seems to violate the normal rules that he's familiar with of astronomy, so that even though he's a bucky gadol and all shvili de rakia, he has no idea what this is and what causes it. And that's where we were up to, and we were really in the middle of the Gemara's Kabbalah about kokova de shavit, which is three lines up from the large top of the large lines in the bottom of Amud Beit. The Gemiri continues the Gemara, and we have a Kabbalah to lo avar kisla, that these, the kokhava de shavit, never actually passes through ksil, which is not clear exactly what that is. Some learned that we're going to see a little bit more about the constellations that we're going to be talking about here. What's that?
Orion.
There's tremendous machlokas with this particular stars, Orion and Pleiades. There's a lot of contradictions in the sugya, and it depends on how you understand the references, whether they're to the constellations that are the 12 constellations. It depends where Akrav is in the sugya. There's a question whether Akrav really is Scorpio, or whether Akrav is an Akrav-like look within Tle, which are Shor, or Taurus, which Rashi learns. So we'll see. But in any event, We're talking about Rimuzim over here that go back to the time of the Mabul, and that have to do with the Rimuzim, which are found in the constellations. And remember that the constellations, Lamaisa, we generally utilize only 12 of the constellations, 12 major constellations that cover the entire 360 degrees of the sky, because that way we're able to split basically each month into one constellation, so we can identify ourselves, that is to say, where the Earth is relative to outside of the solar system. We need to have some system of reference. Obviously, we can't use the sun as a system of reference because we're going around it, so we have no idea where it is. We have no idea where we are vis-a-vis the sun. So this way, if we measure the position of the Earth vis-a-vis constellations that are on the other side of the sun, so we can see right before the sun comes up which constellations are currently in the sky, so we can know where we are in terms of the year. And that's a very convenient way in which all cultures, all ancient cultures, utilize those 12 marks in order to be able to have, and remarkably, they all basically settled on the same 12 all over the Earth, probably still from the time of Adam Arishon. But besides that, there are dozens and dozens. I mean, currently there's officially close to 90 constellations, which are not necessarily in directly in the ecliptic. Obviously, over here we're looking for constellations that are connected to Shemesh, so that those 12 happen to be particularly in the line against which you'll see the sun coming up. But there are many constellations across the sky. These constellations, again, these are just imaginary groupings of stars that various cultures identify as a particular picture, and it becomes a convenient way to mark your way in the sky. That's the Shvili Derekias.
It's like a very deliberate set of patterns of stars.
So does a beautiful mind, and so do all kinds of weird cloud formations, and, you know, and the eye of the heavens, which is staring at you in the Hubble telescope.
Cloud formations would be more a function of wrinkling.
Okay, fine. Listen, humans have a very peculiar tendency to find, you know, little pictures in everything. So be happy with it.
Yeah.
It's good. And, you know, it's nice to have a little planet all your own and believe that everything works out perfectly. It's what we do, and it's good. It's the only way to live locally, so it's important. Okay, so anyway, so the idea over here is that we have a Kabbalah that a kokhava de shavit, if it violates Kisla, maybe the Pleiades, or Yavar Kisla, if it would, then the world would be destroyed. Kor of Alma. What is that supposed to mean? Obviously, no matter what a kokhav de shavit is, it could appear anywhere in the sky. And obviously, there's plenty of experiences in which meteorites or even comets are seen in the path of Kisla. So what is that supposed to mean? Well, it's not really it passing. It's Ziva with Avar. It's just sort of a shine that looks from the angle that you're looking at it, so it looks like it's being over Kisla, but the actual thing has nothing to do with Kisla. Mischazi Kriyah, but it looks as if it's passing through you itself. This whole thing about a Kochav of the Shavit is an optical illusion. It's actually Velon Hudimikra, Umirze Nuhura Derakia. The Megalgal, most Shitas don't have the Megalgal. If we do have Megalgal, like the Orach has Megalgal, which means it moves out of the way. So remember that the Gemara's vision of the answer to the famous paradox as to why the entire sky is not solidly alight, which is Mach's paradox. It should be solidly alight because of the fact that if you take a look at all of the stars, ultimately every pixel that we could pick up should have a star in it. And the Gemara's solution to that was Vilon. Vilon means that there's a interruption, that is a curtain-like affair, that blocks the light from the Rakia. We know that the actuality is all of the immense amount of gas clouds and so that absorb tremendous amount of light. There's other issues here that have to do with physics itself, but in terms of reality, we are not exposed to very much of the light of the universe as a whole. So therefore, what he's saying is Vilon gets a tear in it, so to speak. You see like a flash of light, which immediately shuts. But there's nothing there. It's just the light that's coming in from behind. It makes you think that something's moving. We know that Kisla is defined Kabbalistically as something that relates particularly to changes in the world and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu utilizes for different hanhagas, and it represents those hanhagas. And therefore, Ravashi is really being merames to different things that we'll see hints of later, in which there is a star that is actually removed from one side of Kisla, and then another star sees it on the other side, gets scared, and reacts. And it looks as if it's moving from one to the other, but it really isn't. Shmuel points out there's a contradiction here in the Psukim. On the one hand, we're told that Eisa Osh Ksil V'chima V'chadre Tema, which implies that the order is Ksil V'chima. On the other hand, it says, Oseh Chima Uchsil, in that direction, and this is the opposite. Which way is it? Is it Kima V'Ksil or is it Ksil V'Kima? Okay, so what it actually means is that these two constellations are in balance. Il Molech Hamash Ksil and Itkayim Olam B'Tei Ksil Shokima. Il Molech Ksil Shokima and Itkayim Olam B'Tei Hamash Ksil. So these are constellations that are merames to the climate of the earth, and if it wouldn't be that they were in balance, then nothing would be able to be Mitkayim. Ilav Ukta the Akrav, the Monach B'Nahar Dinor. Now, again, if this is the Pashtas of Ukta the Akrav, which means that the tail of Scorpio, of real Scorpio, then it makes sense to say that the Ukta the Akrav is Monach B'Nahar Dinor. Nahar Dinor is the Gemara's word for the Milky Way. Nahar, because it looks like a river of fire, basically. So you have this massive river of fire in the sky, which of course nobody sees anymore because of the city lights, but it smashes you in the face as soon as you get out of the city. And that the Oketz, the tail of Scorpio, actually does touch the main body, the main belt of the Milky Way galaxy, which is us, looking out from the inside, obviously. And if it wouldn't be that it was actually held under control by being in Nahar Dinor, then a person who would get stung by an Akrav would never be able to survive. But like this, it's weakened because of Akrav. Now, Rashi learns that Akrav over here is not really referring to the normal mazel of Akrav. So it's part of this discussion of Kesel Kima and so on, in which case there's no particular relationship of Ukta the Akrav and Nahar Dinor. This is basically what the Torah was talking about to Eov when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, will you, Eov, who think you're so smart and you have all types of questions about life and everything, are you capable of tying the knots of Kima? Or can you moshchot ksil tifateach? Can you undo the reins of ksil? So what does kima mean? So Shmuel, if kima is the Pleiades, so then Shmuel is pretty close to accurate. Amar Shmuel kimea kochavi, because in actuality, telescopically, you can see about 200 stars. In the naked eye, you can only see 6 or 7 stars. So if Shmuel was saying kimea kochavi, he must have had access to some type of telescope. So I'm related to Mechafi. The Pashta says that we're referring actually not to all of the stars of the Kima, which is Kimea, but rather to the main Keach, is the Mashmaot of Rashi, which explains this Machlok, in which case it would have nothing to do with the particular number of stars. It's the Keach of the stars. So some say it's the area in which these stars are gathered together, and others say, on the contrary, it's 100 stars spread out throughout Kima, the Mevadran. So if we talk about it, the Kasher Ma'adanot, it's because, in fact, it happens to be that these stars are close enough to each other to have profound impact, gravitational impact on one another, and because of that, they are mekushar one to the other. So he's exactly the purpose. Asking you, you know so much about everything, you barely know olive base about anything that's going on in your local sky. Okay, then we talked about Oseh Ash. What exactly is Ash? Ash actually is a reference probably to what everybody views as it's a V. It's called a V, but it's a butterfly. Ash is the larvae of a butterfly. And in many cultures, it's represented by a butterfly or a moth. And so what is Ash, says Rav Yehuda? That's where the Mormons live. You know, Utah. My Utah. What exactly is that? I'm like, well, it's actually a machlokas because it happens to be directly between, if you take a look at the constellations, you have Sagittarius followed by Taurus. So it looks like the Shor is following the Tle, the Gdi. And basically, there's an area of stars that come between them that could be viewed as part of the Zanav Tle, or it could be viewed as an extension, like a horny head of Taurus. I mean, it gets very difficult. These are not exactly beautiful pictures, the constellations, so you can view them any way you want. So some say it's part of Tle, and some say it's actually the head of Egla, Egla Shor. It makes more sense to say that it's actually part of Tle, because that would explain why it seems to be missing if it's a Zanav, and it looks like a Zanav. And since it says that Ayash Albanea, it's a mashma that Ayish is searching here for its missing stars. Apparently it's Chasera, which would mean that it really belonged to the Zanav of Tle. It looks like they've been recovered and sort of banged in there with a hammer. Behind Azlabata, the reason that we find Shor constantly following the Tle is because there's this insistence on Havli Banai, I want my kids back. When it was time to bring a Mabul, two Kochavim were removed from Kima, which caused the Mabul. So tomorrow, when it was time to stop the Mabul, two Kochavim were removed from Ayesh and Satma. Asked the Gemara, why not just put the same two kochavim back? Well, we saw earlier in the Masechta, Ein ha-bor mitmalei b'chulyato. If you dig out a bor, you can't just replace the dirt in it and expect it to fill the same place. It's fill the same place anymore. Inami ein kategor nasa sanegor. We cannot use as a dover tov to stop a marble something that we use to start a marble. So it wouldn't make sense to have an anoga like that. We leave it like treko chaviach. We don't want to just make another couple of stars and throw them in there. Ein kochadash tachat hashemesh. Omrev Nachman atid Hakadosh Baruch Hu lachzirah na. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to ultimately give Ayish back her missing stars, which is a tikkun of the Mabul, and it begins, of course, the Yom Kippur with the tikkun of Azav Azael. Shinemrav Aish Abanea Tanchim. All of the above is a papal announcement by the Kabbalah Center. V'ala Zu'ot. What exactly are Zu'ot? Rav Katina Guha. It's an earthquake. Now, Rav Katina was walking along, Akasa Baruch was walking along the road, just as he was passing by the Pitchot Be'uva, the famous wizard in the area was an Ov, and that was the Uba Tamia. Tamia is a lotion of Atzamot, because Ov, the Bali Ov, use Atzamot. Just as he's going by there, Gunach Guha, all of a sudden there's an earthquake. So Rav Katina says, so tell me, Mr. Smart Alec Uba, does maybe Uba Tanya know exactly what causes these earthquakes? Hai Guha Mahu? Ramalei Kala, so they all from inside says, oh, Katina, Katina, Amai Lo Yadan, and why wouldn't I know? It's when God remembers the pain of his children amongst the nations of the earth. He lets two tears drop into the ocean, and those tears make such a splash. You thought tsunamis come from the earthquake. No, they caused the earthquake. The entire earth shakes, and that's what a gua is. Said Rav Katina, what a bunch of bull. Uba, Tanya, Kadiv, who is a phony. Mila Kadivin, what is this religious stuff? You're supposed to sound like birth, but like you're serious. Anyway, if that were true, how come every earthquake doesn't have aftershocks? It should say gua gua, mi boile. Velo, actually it does, says the Gemara. Oh, Rav Katina was the phony over here. It does always have an aftershock, and it's gua gua of it. But he didn't want the people to think that the Ove was on the track of something. So he just sort of picked something. I figured nobody notices, you know, anyway, whatever. So, hi, Delohadi, like Echla, Lite, Kule, Amabad. I didn't want people following the Uva Tamia. Anyway, what's Rav Katina's own explanation? Ah, much better explanation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu banging his hands against the other. Because it says, Aniya kekapi akapi v'anichuti chamati. We see that there's a hanhaga that is called tikiat kaf, banging hand, kekapi akapi. And that means, kevayachol, that there is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, the way a human being releases his anger. It's a moan and a groan. which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so upset, so that I have to make myself feel better about the mess I've made of things here. The Rabbanan Amar Boit Berakia, Shenemar Heidad Kador Chimi Anelko Yoshei Aretz. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is banging against Berakia Kavayachol, Revachar Bayakov Vermedochek Et Raglav Tachat Kiseh Kavod, Shenemar Koamar Hashem HaShemayim Kiseh Varetz Adom Raglai. And that's the end of the metaphysical explanations. Now, getting down to some more prosaic things. What about Ra'amim? What is the thunder? Where does that thunder come from? My Ra'amim, Omoshua Anani Begalgal, Shenema Kor Amcha Begalgal, Eiru Barakim Tevel Ragza, Ragza Vatir Asha Aretz. So that is the sound, basically, of clouds that are rubbing against the Galgal of the earth and makes a lot of noise. Rabbana said, no. It has to do with water, obviously. It always comes with rain, doesn't it? So it's Anani the Shafki, Mayala Adadi, Shenema Kor Tito Amun Mayim Beshamayim. So when you have water being transferred from one onto another, it makes noise. Ravacha Rayakov Amar, and this, of course, is the closest to something that's true, as the Gemara points out. It's Barka Takifa, it's a very big lightning strike, the Barak Ba'anana, and Umitbar Gezizi the Barza, and in doing that, it smashes, the lightning smashes the Barad that's in the Rakia, and that makes a lot of noise. Well, you know what it's like? It's like a vast cosmic flute, Indian flute. So these Ananim are hollow inside, you know, and the wind blows over it, it creates sound. You know, when the wind blows over empty barrels, always makes a noise. But Lamai says the Gemara Ravach Bar Yaakov certainly seems most on target, because you see that we only get thunder after there's a lightning strike. So it must have something with the lightning. So the Borek Barakam Nami Anani Va'atim Mitran. Boy, would they be shocked to find out the truth. V'yala Ruchot. My Ruchot, Omer Abaya Zapa. So Ruchot are like very, very serious storms, tornadoes. We have a Kabbalah. There are no such tornadoes at night. What do you mean there's no? They do. Yes, but they don't begin at night. Because of temperature gradients, which is really true. We also have a Kabbalah that such a storm cannot keep itself going for more than 2 hours. So that means that there shouldn't be two pa'amim's lotion of 2 hours, this level of tzara, and it usually actually does. We're talking about specifically a tornado, obviously, you know, very dispersed storms can last for a long time. So I asked the Gemara, but we see that there are storms that go for longer than that. Yes, but mafsik bini bini. Basically what's happened is that one actual a funnel has broken down, and then another one built up again, but the same funnel doesn't go on for 2 hours. Twister, yeah. What is a broka? Omar Rava Barka, it's what we call lightning. Yomar Rava Barka Yechida, a single burst of lightning. That's not part of any kind of storm. Or Barka Chivra, very white lightning. Or Barka Yurukata, green lightning. Or Anani Desalkin Mekeren Ma'aravid Vaatim Mekeren Dromi, a clouds that end up in the corner, the western corner, and have come from the south, or two Ananim Desalkin, Chodalape Chaverta, we have two clouds that are going in opposite directions, heading towards each other, are all Simonim that are kosher to the world. And what difference does that make? Let me buy Rachel, just if you see such things. You should recognize that you're in a matzav that requires tefillah. This is only if it's towards the night. In the morning, clouds are absolutely meaningless. Anything that you see about the weather in the morning shouldn't be taken seriously. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make fun of the promises that we make and the chesed that we make. Yeah, it's all very nice, like the big clouds in the morning that just disappear after a couple of hours. But how is that possible? If there's a common saying that people say, which is, Amr Inche, here's the saying, when you open up the door of your house, Mr. Truck Driver, and there's a lot of rain, take your sacks, put them down on the ground, go to sleep, because there's going to be a lot of rain, and there's no point in starting to transfer grain all over the place. Things are going to be growing all over. But obviously, I mean, when you open up the door in the morning, it's the morning. No, that's a lokash. It makes a difference whether we're talking about a morning mist, which everything is very, very covered, but that's nothing, because that's just until the sun comes out, burns off the low-lying clouds, it doesn't mean anything. But if you're talking about thick cloud up in the sky, then it doesn't matter if it's morning or any other time, it's a sign that it's going to rain. Omer Alexander Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lo nivru ra'amim ela lefshotak mumiyut shebelev. People have a very primal reaction to thunder, and it gets them recognizing how vulnerable they are. God has made it possible to have some sense of fear. from Rabbi Alexander of Yeshua ben Levi. Someone who sees the rainbow shining out from a cloud should fall on his face. Because we find that the Navi utilizes the Keshet in Yecheskel as a sign of the Marek Kvod Hashem, and the Demut Kvod Hashem is something that one should be Mishtach of it to. Obviously, the reason, as the Ramchal points out, the wonderful element of the Keshet is that it makes it very clear that white light is comprised of so many different frequencies, which is essentially the nature of Malchus Shemayim. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's aura is mitpashet in so many different ways, each one which you'd swear was entirely unrelated to white light. And Lamaisa, putting it all together, you end up with just an undifferentiated light, and that's just that existence indeed has no essence, but it's possible to split things up, and then to perceive an essence which are manifestations that are not really part of the totality. No. This is just in terms of Kabbalistically, each one of the colors of the rainbow is connected to another one of the Midas, and that's why, because we view the Midas as being a breakup. It's specifically not seeing the whole thing. If you don't see the whole thing, you're able to break things up. And it says, Yecheskel says, I saw and I fell on my face. But the Ma'arava, they would curse anybody who would do that. Come on, this circuit of the casual. Looks like you're bowing down to the right. Please forget it. But Baruch Evad Mevorach, you should definitely say Baruch. Which Baruch is that? You say Baruch Zocher HaBrit. And in the Brita, it's Ne'eman Bevrito V'Kayam B'Ma'amaro. And of course, there's Papa who has two mouths, Papa. He says, therefore, as he always does, let's say both. Yokach Namrino the Tarvayu. And that is Baruch Zocher HaBrit. Ne'eman Bevrito V'Kayam B'Ma'amaro. The Mishnah was machalic between phenomena in which we say Oseh Ma'aseh Breshit and where other things where we say Kochot Gvurato Malei Olam. So the Gemara is wondering, why do we sort of arbitrarily, we have a list of things here, which are certainly things, thunder and lightning and so on, all of these things, you could say, why do you only say Kochot Gvurato Malei Olam? And then it moves on to Aring Vorot, we say Oseh Ma'aseh Breshit. Aren't they part of Oseh Ma'aseh Breshit? So couldn't you say Oseh Ma'aseh Breshit on that? Ask the Gemara, Otto Kol Ani Daman Ad Ashtel Ab Ma'aseh Breshit. You know, the things that we were talking about of Kochot Gvurato are not part of the things that give us a sense of the beauty and the wholesomeness of Ma'aseh Breshit. Doesn't it say Beferush Barakim Lamatarasa? That's part of the description of Bria, which means that Barak should also be Oseh Ma'aseh Breshit. No. The Mishnah is meant to be Kroch V'Tani. It's not separating two different sets. You're meant to incorporate one set in the other. Rava Amar? No. That's not the point. You can't just choose. The thing is here, Adam of Arch Tarte. Baruch Shekohu Malei Olam. Lo Sema Sebreshi. Tarte, most of the Rishonim hold, as Tosis brings, doesn't mean Tarte both, but one or the other. But you can choose. You can be able to either way. But the things in the second set are local, and therefore you can't call them Malei Olam. What are you going to see? You see a particular mountain. You're going to say Malei Olam. That mountain is where it is. It's not something that can be seen from the distance, and it's like a thunder and lightning and earthquakes and so on that are traveling long distances, and millions of people are wherever they say Malei Olam. But over here, you can only say Oseh Ma'aseh Breshit, that Ika. But Kochot Malei Olam Leko, you don't have that expression in this particular thing. Om Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, there's another thing which is Aroa Rikia B'Taharata. Om Baruch Oseh Breshit. If you really see a clear sky, which we almost never see, then you make that broch on the clear sky. Om Rabbi, when is that? Om Rabbi Kiyata Mitra Kulalaylia. It's when you have an entire night of heavy rain. Ubitzafra Ata Istana Magalia Leila Shemaya. In the morning, you have this beautiful wind, and it washes everything away, and you have this incredibly clear sky. And this is not the approach of Rafram Bar Papa and Rav Chista. The Omer Rafram Bar Papa and Rav Chista Yom Shcharav Beit Hamikdash Lo Nir Eitr Kiyah B'Taharata. Actually, since the Zman of the Korban, we have never seen a clear sky, and because of that, you cannot make this bracha. What we think is a clear sky is nothing like the real thing. Shinemar Al Pish Shamayim Kadarut, because it says Beferish that I will coat the heavens in sadness for Sakasim Ksutam, and therefore to see through the Kadarut, we may think it's clear because that's the best that we've got. Tana Rabbana, Haroel Chama B'Tkufata, Levana B'Gvu, it should say B'Taharata, Kochavim B'Misilutam, U'Mazalot Kisidram, Omer Baruch Oseh Bereshit. So somebody who sees the sun in the Tkufa in which it was created, which we'll explain in a minute, and the Kochavim in their correct places, the Mazalot in their correct places, says Oseh Ma'aseh Bereshit. And when is that? Ve'imat, Ve'imat Avi. Rabbi, that happens every 28 years. Every 28 years, of course, this is what we call the Birkat HaChama, that we make a big fuss over. And Adar Ma'aseh Nisan, because that is the only time in which you have the sun back in the place where it was created between Yom Shlishi and Yom Revi, in the evening of Yom Revi, the night before, in other words. And that way, it comes out right at the Tkufa of Nisan that year, which was the original Nisan of Bereishis, was at that time. And it comes out right as Shabtai is in charge of the earth. And this is the Shatsam Chankal, which is the siman to the various mazalot, which have become the name of the days of the week in modern terminology. So each one of these stands for another one of the days of the week. So we have the Sunday, we have the Moon Day, we have the Mercury Day, we have the Saturn Day, and so on. Of course, we take some of the Norwegian references. So Thursday we have for Thor, who's the god of Jupiter. But all of those days are built on the Shatsam Chankal, which becomes the beginning of that day. So if you take a look at Rashi, basically it ends up being a description of the days of the week according to secular terms of the days of the week. Now, the problem with this is that it has absolutely no bearing on reality for a very simple reason. The Cheshbon is built on the Tkufa of Shmuel. The Tkufa of Shmuel. So Shmuel's Tkufa has the length of the solar year as being 365 1/4 days, which is not accurate. We don't paskin on Shmuel. So this entire thing is wrong because it's based on every Tkufa, which is 1/4 of the year, being 1 1/4 of a day off from the previous Tkufa, because it's got to be, you're going to divide the year into four. So that would mean that every 28 years, basically, you can make up the difference of that quarter of a day is going to come out to finish the entire 7 days, and you're back at exactly the place where you were. But it takes 28 years to make that difference, because you have to make it up not just at the beginning of a night, it has to be at the beginning of a night of Wednesday. Now, obviously, if the year is not 365 1/4 days, then this is completely meaningless. And since we ourselves don't paskin, and in actuality it isn't that long, so because of that, this entire bracha seems to be a joke. And many of the peskim were asked to explain why it isn't a joke. We actually had a whole shir on it for the Tkufat, the last Tkufas HaChamer. We spoke about it at great length. And basically, the Chazon Ish's approach is his approach in everything, which we spoke about a lot in Chulin, and in the whole idea of Alpayim Torah, as opposed to the Alpayim Tohu. And his idea is that which is pretty obvious, that the Torah really couldn't care less about actual values. So in other words, we're only supposed to approximate values in terms of halacha. So in other words, as far as the Gemara is concerned, you know, the square root of 2 is not an irrational number. And as far as the Gemara is concerned, pi is 3. And so in other words, all of these things are they're meant to be gross approximations. And the reason that, as the Chazon Ish points out, and therefore if you wear your tefillin in such a way that the diagonal of your tefillin come out to the Gemara's square root of 2. In that square, it's kosher tefillin. Anybody will tell you that it can't possibly be square. It doesn't matter. La halacha, it's square. And the reason for that is because the mitzvahs are meant for primitive people. They're meant to be achieved by a simple human being at the time of Kabbalah's attire, without tools, without measurements, and in a way that would allow you to live very simply on the earth according to the way an aware human without tools would be able to live. And this is the approximation. If that's the case, then the Tkuf of Shmuel is perfectly usable, and the Torah allows us to approximate our reactions to the world and to relate those approximations to him. There's no attempt to deal with anything real, because what would real mean anyway? Even if you're, first of all, the earth's rotation has been, and because of that, we anyway are not really mocked by anything except from a local point of view on the surface of this planet, and most men mostly, even as they're talking about the Rabbeinu Tam, you can't even go very far north and still have a night and still have a Zman Kriyat Shema, and one of the big tainus on the Zmanim in the Rabbeinu Tam is that you're limited in terms of halacha to a very narrow band of living on the earth, which is where most people happen to live until fairly recently. So all of these things are not such a big deal, but the Gemara shouldn't be taken too seriously as trying to mean something that is an absolute in any way. Rabbi Yonam Haroa Hayam Hagadol. So we say that this is Liprakim. So when you say Liprakim, what is Liprakim? You don't do this every time you see the sea. It's 30 days, every 30 days. If you see Nahar Prat on the bridge of Bavel, you say Baruch Hoseh Bereshit, but you can't do that anymore. Because now those darn Persians have made so many canals that they have changed the path of the original Nahar Prat. So the Parsoi, who were Shanyu, now you've got to go to the bridge from Shvar and above, that's the only place where the original path of the prod is still there. You don't make a bracha, Maaseh Bereshit, that's something that is no longer the way it was in Maaseh Bereshit. You know, what are you going to do? You make a bracha on the Panama Canal. So that's not also Maaseh Bereshit. So basically, that some learn from here that it's really only the Arba Nehorot that are mentioned in the Torah that you're supposed to, because it's talking about the prod, the Chidekel specifically. Lamaisa, most poskim say that it's just utilizing these because they are enormous, Nehorot. But clearly on the Amazon and the Mississippi, and so you could, except the Mississippi doesn't know where it belongs from year to year, but on the Amazon, you could certainly make that bracha. You mean there's a river around New York?
Rabbi
Yosef Amar. From Ihi.
I called Rabbi from Karkamish, asked if I should make this bracha.
Right. It's Barnea's name. Me Ihi, the Kira Vile'el. It's above the area of Ihi Tekira nowadays. And Rabbi Bar Chama said, if you see the Diglas, which is the Chidekel, on the Sebastian Bridge, you can make Baruchos separation. By the way, why do we call the Chidekel Chidekel? I'm Ravashi because Meimav Chadin Vekalim. The waters of the Chidekel are carbonated. They're very light. And the Prat is Losha Piriya Verivya. Meimav Parim Veravin. The amount of water in the river changes dramatically, as we've seen in the Gemara, at the name of Mikvos. So they seem to increase at times. The Omar Rava, you should know that the reason that people in Bechuza are so smart is because they drink water out of the Diglat, and that's very light and sharp water, you know? And the reason that they're so rouge is that that's because they have sex in the day, so the sun makes them, you know, ready. And hide the night, and why their eyes always, you know, moving around? But they don't have any light in their homes. Because they don't have any light in their homes, they've basically evolved this constant shaking eye because they never get enough information. Halak Yishamim, Yisya Tov Amiti. That's what you're supposed to be mivorach. I told Rabbi Avoser some say even it's bright out. It says beimetai mivorachim ala gishamim mishi yaitze chatan lekrat kala. So we know we saw in the Gemara in Ta'anit that the entire relationship of the rain is very much a relationship of male and female, and that's why it's called the it's rovea the karka, as the Gemara says. So this is actual intercourse with the earth, and therefore we have chatan and kala. So the kala would be as a drop drops down, so drops pop up to meet it. And once you have that much water, that's when you make the bracha. And what is that bracha? It certainly is not a tov ha-metim. Says Rabbi Yehuda, it's modim anachnu lach al kol tipa v'tipa shoradata lanu. And Rabbi Yochanan says that there's also misayim ba'achiv ilu pinu malei shirah kayam. You do the whole thing with the nishma, zein anu maspikim odot b'cha Hashem lakenu. And until you get to Baruch Atah Hashem, rov ha'odah, which drives us crazy in the Seder, shal Pesach, where we have the Arizal's girsa, the other Gersos, and this is Sfard, and it's all because of this Gemara. So Baruch Atah Hashem, Rov HaOdot. What do you mean Rov HaOdot? What about Kol HaOdot? Says Rav, okay, so you just say Ayel HaOdot. And of course, Rav Papa does this thing. Yilkach Nimrino Letarvai, I say both. Rov HaOdot, Vayel HaOdot, and therefore Tosu says, that's why in Yishtabach, we ended up with Baruch Atah Hashem, El Melech Gadol B'Tishpachot, El HaHodot. Why did we throw in El HaHodot? In order to be Yotze, this Shita. Fine. So, but anyway, but it's a problem. Is it atov ametiv, or is it this whole long bracha? Modim anachnu lach. So, lakasha. Now, lakasha. The shmiya mishma. The chosem michse. It depends, you know. Did you see about it? The rain? Or did you hear it? So, if you're talking about shmiya, so that's what we're talking about. Atov ametiv. That's besurot tovot, right? So what do you mean? So why are we saying Al Gashami? And it's included in Tanan. Al Bisrotavotam Abrukatova Metim. So that doesn't make any sense. The Gemara's trying to give us a new Mishnah was saying a new thing besides Bisrotavot. So it's gotta be that you see it. Okay, you're right. You did see it. But the question is how much rain there is? No lokasha. Adiata purita, adiata tuva, it depends whether there's a lot of rain or whether there's just the beginning of the rain. As we describe this brach as like a special. And or could be, maybe the pshat is that had itle ara. Or Hibaitema, both could be referring to Atatuva, but Adi Itleara, Adi Letleara. If he's got his own land, so fine. Itleara, Atova Metivu Mavarev? If he's got his own land, so he has to make a Baruch Atova Metiv. But it says, if you have something of your own, Banabayat Chadash, Kana Kelim Chadashim, and you have something good, which is what happened over here, you say, Baruch Shechiganu Gimanu Lazman Hazeh. If you have Shalom, Vishalachirim, Omer Atova Metiv. Now there's a little bit of a mess up over here, as Rashi brings it to Gears, is very confused over here. Because, as a matter of fact, let's just take a look at the Rashi, which is five lines up from the big lines of Rashi. Rashi? He says the logar sinan elahava hadiit le'ara v'alchi perusha. What we're really doing is we're giving a teretz. The teretz that we gave, the teretz to shaninan koi beduchte. It stands. Modim anachnu lach. That bracha we say when you don't have your own land. Hatova meitiv is when you do have your own land. Now you had a kasha. What about bana bayit chadash? Where you say shechiyano? That's not a kasha because continues the gemara hadiit le'shutafut hadalet le'shutafut. That meaning that you have shutafut in the land, but meaning that the besura has shutafut. So when there's rain, obviously it's not only your land. So there you say, Tov Amiti. So there's always shutafut in this good thing.
Other people.
What's meaning shutafut in this land? If you're making a brocha about something in the house, then you have a shutafut, and then Tov Amiti to both of us. If it's just me, so then it's shechiyanu v'kiyamanu. But obviously the rain is always by definition shutafut. And indeed, Vatanya, this is what it says in the Braita. Look, Kitzro Shodavar, the bottom line is very simple. Al Shalom Amar Baruch Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu. If you have something that is teva for yourself, it's shechiyanu. Al shalom v'al shel chaveiro, it's baruch atov v'ametiv. Wait, so you're saying if nobody else is involved, then you don't say atov v'ametiv? Kol eichad alet l'achrina ba'adei lo mevaruch atov v'ametiv. What about v'atani amru lo yalda ishto zachar? Somebody gets news his wife had a boy. So he says, baruch atov v'ametiv? Well, I mean, his wife is happy, isn't she? I mean, he can't be atov v'ametiv to his wife. Rashi is because his wife also, believe it or not, wants a boy. Ridiculous, but that's what she wants. So we made it a tov amitiv. And those words have mean it was. I mean, what good is a boy to a mother? You know, yeah, you have a girl, at least she'll help. This is good in the house, it's quiet, calm, and so on. You have a boy, it's a disaster. What is she going to do? Tov amitiv, my poor wife's going to have to raise a boy now. But Lamai says she wants a boy, so to her this is tov amitiv. It's another notch in the belt anyway. So, the nechalab is zachar. She's willing to have a boy, she's happy, very good. Tashma, Meit Aviv, a guy hears that his father died, Vuhu Yorsho, and that he left him money. So first it says Baruch Dayan Emet, and then he says Baruch Atov Amitiv. But why does he say Baruch Atov Amitiv? He should say Shechiyanu on his Yerusha. But why is it Atov Amitiv? That's talking about we're his brothers. So it's Baruch Atov Amitiv, and Amitiv to me and to my brothers. So we have a Yerusha. Tika Yachi, Tika Yarti Ba'atei. Tashma, Shinu Yayin Ein Tzarech Levarech, Shinu Makom Tzarech Levarech. If they bring you different wine, you already said Abori Perei Gefen, you do not need to make another bracha. But if you change the location is b'chayav a new bracha. But Amrav Yosef Bar Ab, Amrav Yochanan, this is what's magia to us, it's true, you don't need to be Mavarach or Baruch Piragefen, but you do have to say Baruch HaTov HaMitiv. How can you say Baruch HaTov HaMitiv and not Shechiyanu? Enoch Inami says the Gemara. The only case that we're talking about where you make this bracha is B'davka, where there are other people present. You do not make HaTov HaMitiv on Yain on your own. And HaTov HaMitiv B'nei Chabura Teshato Ba'adei. So this was a special bracha. So this point out it was Miuchat for Yain. Anyway, we know that HaTov HaMitiv originally was kosher. For our Ruge Betar, because they had used the bodies for the Andrianus's Kerem to soak with Jewish blood, to soak the Kramim, so the Bedavka were Kovea. Atov HaMetiv should need to look forward, the Yerushalmi says, in order to be Metakin, that element of the Haruge Betar. Okay, so this is the Yuchar Brocha that we see as Nogea Yayin, particularly here's where all the Shitas, Taisus brings all the Shitas about whether the wine has to be better than the original wine. So the big Machlokas we shine in Lamaisa, we are careful not to make Atov HaMetiv unless it's unexpected and unless it's clearly a better one than the original one. There are those who hold that as long as it's not worse, you make it, but that certainly is not the myth. Just to know that Sunday obviously is Chama in the list of the Mazales, so that's Sun. Monday is Moon Day. Tuesday is actually the god of war, which is Mars, except that the Goyim took the Norse god of war, which is Tyre, so it became Tuesday. Wednesday is Kokav, which is Mercury, but the Norse god is Woden, which became Wednesday to us, right? Thursday is Jupiter, which is Thor. So it's Thor, it's Thursday. Friday was Venus, which in Norwegian is Freya, which became Friday. And Saturday is Saturn. Saturn's night. So it's exactly the Seder that Rashi has over here of the mazalot. And each one of these days has that mazal thing, Mishamish, at the beginning of the day. It's not a mazal, either. It doesn't mean a constellation mazal, it means just the name of a particular planet that is shaylit at that time, whatever that's supposed to mean. Ala zikin. My zikin are mashmo kuchva de shavit. Var mashmo nihir li shvila de shmaya ki shvila de nahardola var mi kochova de shavit lo yadana mai niu. The gemiri de lo avar kisla yavar kisla chora va alma va kachazinu de avar zivaru de avar mitchazikri avar iu. Ravuna Bered Ravishomar Vilonu de Bikareya Mirze Nura de Rakia Ravashomar Kochavo de Okram Yakis and the Kist of Hosila Havram Yargisa Umivi to Mirze Kamadiova Shul Rami Ktivosa Osh Ksil Vahima Ksivosikima Vixil Okitsa Yamale Hamash Oksil on it came along with Metsina Shakima Vilmalet Sina Shakima on it came along with the Hamash Oksil Vigmira Yelav Uksida Krov the Manak Banahardinor Kumana Vitrakla Yakrovalo. Yala Zot, my Zot of Katina Gua. Rav Katina have a cause of Burk, Kmata, Pitra, the Ubatania, Gona Gua, Omar. Ha! Miyala Ubatania, I Gua, Mao. Ramale Kalakatina, Katina, my Loyadana. The Shashakados were who's a herd, Banavish, Shrim, but Sarbin, a motorland. Morik stayed the Mahat, Beramagadal. The colony swam itself for a lamb, we had so for Vainu Gua. Omar of Katina. But I'm a Kadivo, Mila Kadiv, and Yahoo Gua Gua me by the glory, Gua Gua. Had all the like Ethel Viticuliama Batra. With Katina did the Omar, so pick up of Shema Vagamanoi, and Yakeka Piaka Pivani Hoti Homatil, not an Amar Incha Mitanea, Shema Vani Hoti Homatiba, Vain Hamti. Rabbanan Army, boy Perakia, Shema Hedad Katorhimian, Okoyo Shedeha Aretz, Vaka Bariakovam. וחייקת רגליו תחת כיסא הכבוד שם כה אמר השם, השמיים כיסי וארץ אדום רגליים. על הרעמים, מהי רעמים, עומר שמואל, ענני בגלגל, שם כל רעמך בגלגל, העירו ורק אם תדל רק זו ותרעש הארץ. רבון, ענני דשפתי מהילד, שם כל תיתו המון מים בשמיים. רבה רבי יעקב אמר ברק התקיף את הברק בננה ביטפל גזיזי דבר זה רבה השם ענת וכולי מחלחלי אל תזיקה ומנה שבה פומי עמדה מכזיקה פומדני but reality is בסתיווק רבה רבי יעקב דבורק ברק מהמי ענני ואתו מיטרה על רוחות מהי רוחות אמר רבי זאפה ואמר רבי גמירי תזאפה בלילה לא אהבי וחזיר את אהבי דעודי התחילו ביומאמה ואמר רבי גמירת זאפה תרתי שר לא קוראים וקיים השם הלא תקום פעמיים צרה וכך עשינו את הקוראים יהיה ברצוע זה בפסיק בני בן על הברקים אומר ברוך שכחו לגבורת אומר אלא מהי ברקים אומר רב הברקה ואומר רב הברקה יחידו או ברקה חיבר או ברקה ירוקתה או ענן יצעק בקר מרבית ואתם בקר דרומית או תרתי ענן יצעק נעדי הפרקה ורתה כולו קשן מה נפקה מינת בוי רחמן But all of this is animated by Lila, but Safra let Bumishasha. On the Shobar Yitzhani Anani did Safra let Bumishasha, who has to him, Ganan Boker. On the Republic by Amri Yitzhik at Miftach by Babi Mitra Barhamra, Moch Sakech Ogni. Nah, look, I should cut me about the cut about Nani. On the Alexander, on the Bishop and Levi, Lonivro, Amin, Elev Shotak Mumiot Shabalev, Shinema Elohim Asa, Shirumil Fanab. Honor Alexander, be your servant, Levi Aroeta, Kishit Banan, Sergi Polopanov, Shemakamara Kishi Banan, Kane Marekvoda, Shemarebe Polopanai, Light of Amara, Universiman, the Saka de Kashta, of a groovy valley before it, my Mavarak Borgs of Hera Breed, we might need that town of Jovanus from Yahoo and Brokomer, Neaman, the Rito, the Kayambi Mama Romer of Papa, Yokov Nimino Tava, Borgs of Hera Breed, Neaman, the Rito, the Kayambi Mama Romer. Al harim ve'al gevul atukalani damor and adashter nakatsu to be my separations. Vachti berakim la matar asan. Rabbi Akrochu tini Rabbam. No. Hatem mevarich tarte. Choose one. Or as a separation, but achas a separation alone is what you got. Because it doesn't move around. There is no such thing, but you can't do that anymore because either the Shanyu or Parsoi, it had to be me Beishvor v'le'el. Rabbi Yosef Amar, no, it's me here, the Kira l'el. These engineering projects are getting out of hand. Omer Rami Barava, Haro'ed Diglet, Agisha the Shabistana, Omer Baruch Hosev Reshit, my Chidek and Rosh Meimav Chadin v'kalim, my Prat Meimav Parim v'ravim. Omer Rava Hoda Charifi, b'nei b'chuzim b'shem d'shat amayet Diglat, haide Gichuri b'shem d'mash v'msham sh'me b'yimama, haide Nadi Anayim b'shem the diary b'bayet afel. Ala Gishamim atov amiti v'barech, Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rabbi Madidah Tana, מתי מבורכים על הגשמים מי שיצא חתן לקראת קלה מים מבורכים המרבין המודים אנחנו לא חכות טיפה וטיפה שהורדת לנו רבי יוחנן בסיים באוכי אילו בפינו מלא שרק הים ואין לנו מספיקים לדעות לך שמוקינו עד ברוך אתה השם רוב ההודעות רוב ההודעות לא כל ההודעות אמרו ואין אל ההודעות אמרו כל ביוחנן אמרים לתרבר רוב ההודעות ואל ההודעות ולא קשה לא קשה עוד שמה משמד החזם נחזר שמה משמד נסיים פגיס בשרות טובות We already said up Sarotovat Marbrochatov Amitim. You're right. Either we did Khazimir, Lokasha, Hadata Porta Hadata Tuva, or could be by Tema of Hadata Tuva Lokasha. Hadi Playara the Latlayara. If they are I told him before, I could be better. Bonabite Katan, Bonabite Kadash, Kanakalib Kadashim, Omer Borch, Yanakimano, as Manasse. So, Adit says, Lokasha, Adit, I should have foot at a little shoot of foot. And indeed, Batanik, Tsarosha, the war, Ashalom, Baruch Shachin of Gimano, Ashalom, Shachavirom, Baruch Atavamiti, the Kalaika, the letter, Queen of Adil, Baruch Atavamiti, Batania, Omrulo, Yaldaishto. Zachar. So he says, Baruch Atavamiti. Yeah, well, Atanami, Iki, Shtoba, they know, I mean, she does have something to do with it. Tanekala, Zachar. Tashma, Meit Avivu Yorsho, Bitchila Omer Baruch Dayan Emet, and the Sofer Omer Baruch Atov Ametiv. Why Atov Ametiv and Sere Shechayanu? Adonam Yika Achit Kayarti Bat Ehi. Tashma, Shino Yayin Ein Tzerech Lover, Shino Mokam Tzerech Lover, Vorm Rav Yosef Bar Ava, Omer Yochan Ava Pishomer Shino Yayin Ein Tzerech Lover, Aval Omer Baruch Atov Ametiv. Explain that. Simple. Adonam Yika Bnei Chabur Deshatu Bat Ehi.
Moadim Lesimcha, Yom Rivi'i, Shasra Adonai, and holding on to the test at the two dots. One line above the large lines. Ala Zu'ot, my Zu'ot. So the Mishnah said you're supposed to be Mevorech, also Kochol Burato, on Zu'ot, which we know now are earthquakes. And the Gemara asks, what are Zu'ot? And Rav Katina, Goha. Goha was their name for earthquake, where the earth shakes. So Rav Katina, Avakazil Be'urcha. Katina was walking along the road, just as he was passing by. Kimota pitcha debay over Tamya gona gua. Was passing by this ov. Tamya means atzamot. The ov is wizards like to play with human bones and skulls and so on. So he was just passing by the door when all of a sudden there's an earthquake. So Omar, he says into the window over there, tell me, miyada uba Tamya hai gua mahu. Does the little bone man know anything about what these earthquakes are, since he's so smart? Romale Kala, so the Ov lifts up his voice and says, ah, Katina, Katina, little Rav Katina, Amaylo Yadana, stop being so sarcastic. Of course I know. B'sha'a shakadosh baruch hu zocheret banav shishurim betzar bein umot olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the children in Galut, morit shtei d'maot liyamagato. Two tears drip from his eyes into the great sea. V'kolo nishma misofo olam v'atsofo. And you feel across the entire globe that shudder. Vainu Gua, that's where the Gua comes from. Omer of Katina said, ah, Ubiat Hamya Kadivu Milekidivim. Mr. Bone Wizard is a phony. And all his words are false. Because if there were really two tears that were dripping to the Yam HaGadol, how come there's not always two earthquakes? The truth is, Velohi, that was a big fake himself. Because actually, there always is an aftershock. There's always Gua Gua. The point is, people don't notice the second wave. The reason he didn't want to say that that was okay, what the Oved said, he didn't want people to be thinking that the Oved has something intelligent to say, so he made fun of it. But actually, there was nothing wrong with it. I mean, basically, what we're looking for in all of these things, as the Gemara says later, it's not necessarily there's any toelet to Briat Olam in these particular effects that come from other things. They're basically they're outgrowths of other phenomena. The only thing that's important to us is the way we psychologically respond to them. So the question is to define some type of way of looking at them so that we can respond accordingly. So there's really nothing wrong with what the Ov was saying, but Rav Katina didn't want it to seem that it stood up. It has to stand up to at least some kind of evidence. Rav Katina Didei, Amar Rav Katina Didei would look at it like this. So fake kapav, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu beats his hands one against the other, as it says, "Begam ani akech hapi el hapi, v'anichosi chamasi, ani Hashem dibarti." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry at the world, so it's as if he smacks his hands together, and that way lets off some steam. So because of that, when you feel an earthquake, of course the Ov's pshat would explain tsunamis better, right?
Those
are big tears.
Yeah, but this explains the tectonic plate movement. Slap against the glass.
Yeah, okay. In any event, I mean, we're looking for something that allows us to respond on a human level. Rabbi Nasrama Ancha Mitaneach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moans about the situation of my Zibereshis, and that way he lets off steam that way. As it says, V'chala api v'anichosi chamasibam v'inechomti. So he says, V'inechomti is the pshat that I will let off steam. Rabbonin Amrei, the Rabbonin say we should look at it as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is boi to Berakia. He kicks the sky. Shenemar heidad kadorchim ya'ane el. So there's a, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps over the Rakia. Ya'ane el ko yashrei ha'aretz. The people on earth should look at it as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is part of the Sha'od Yishag on the Veil, it's the Sha'ag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Churban HaBayit, so there's a frustration with the situation on earth. So we should look at it as if the earth, as if the sky is being kicked. Revaka v'yakov v'mer dochek et raglav tachat kisei hakavod. It's like a person who gets, a person gets upset with the situation. He puts his feet beneath his chair instead of relaxing. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pressing against his feet beneath the Kisei HaKavod. But that means it presses against the Oretz because it says that the Oretz is Adom Raglai. And that means that the, what do you call the Adom in English?
Footstool.
Footstool. So the footstool shakes, so to speak, as there's pressure put against the underneath the Kisei HaKavod. Okay, all of these things obviously are remozim to ways in which we're supposed to look. Each one of them has a different aspect in terms of its connotations, but the whole idea is to be very primitive about these things. That's bichlal. Throughout all of our relationship to, the Torah insists on this all over. We take a very primitive view, right? That's the Bittar Kosh Amunei Olam. It's more than anthropomorphic. It's that basically we're not interested in the reality of phenomena. We're not interested in the reality even of geometry. In other words, the Torah gives us a particular level. We don't care about the real value of pi. We're going to be medayed from a posik, the value of pi b'nogei l'halacha. Because otherwise, the emet over sof. We're not interested in having perfectly square tefillin. We're interested in what is square in terms of the halacha. So those relationships, we're not interested particularly in a value to the 100th decimal place of the square root of the tefillin either. The Gemara will give us a particular value. This is what we relate to defining this square. The same thing is true of all of these things. Is that it's just like we drink water and don't care about the microorganisms in the water. Right? We don't see them. Or we'll view the reproduction of certain bugs as being asexual, even when it isn't. Because basically the Torah is interested in how a primitive human responds to the world. It's instructions on how to look at it at that level. Anything that's more complex, like it's a very fascinating example, by the way, on the Dafta coming up, which is the Birchas HaChama, which we analyze the Birchas HaChama in terms of the approximation of Tkufa Shmuel, which we know certainly is not correct. Astronomically, goes off by a day every century, which is a tremendous amount. But nonetheless, halachically, we rely on it in terms of brachot, kufas, even the nogea mashiv ruchu mar degeshim. And we know it's off. It's getting off to the point where something's going to have to be done. But so here too, the Torah wants a human being to remain basar. That's the idea. We're not meant to be intelligences. We're meant to be the intelligence of the earth, not the intelligence of a human. The intelligence of an earth has to respond in an earthy way, basically. Okay, we'll talk about this later as we go. So each one of these things, it's true that obviously there's nafkaminas in terms of understanding the hashvah, like kabbalistic issues that are brought. Like each one of these remuzim, but those are remuzim out of what would be the most fundamental way of looking at something. If you have the point of view of an Adam on Adam. Alo Ra'amim. So what are Ra'amim? Omar Shmuel On Aneba Galgal, again, the question is to whether, you know, we seriously are meant to be giving a physical explanation, or we just need some kind of explanation consistent with physical phenomena, like the Gua Gua, you know, the two waves. That's be consistent. So Anane Begalgalash, and a Koram Chabal Galgal, Eiru Barakyum Tevel Ragzavat Yir Ashar. So the Raj, the sense of the thunder that we hear, is we should look at it as clouds rolling around against the Galgal, or bumping into each other, and so on. Rabbonin say, Anani de Shafi Mayala Hadari, Shinema Lekot, again, it's obvious that the Torah does not mean to provide us with information on physical phenomena. Never does. But always talks to us from the point of view of an animal. It's not interested in saying, and the earth revolved on its axis. It's interested in saying, as the sun rose in the sky. There's no meaning to the words in any other way as a communication. So here too, it's not giving us scientific information. It's telling us how we should look at the idea of Rosh that comes from the sky. Bar Yaakov doesn't have a posik, actually is intending to explain things. He says, look, it's obviously lightning that is full of tifa, which is a lightning that is of high energy, that breaks through the clouds. And what do you hear? The smash that you hear is the gezize de barza, is the frozen water now that is being broken by the intense energy of the lightning. Again, Rav Ashi also doesn't have a pasuk. He's trying to give an explanation. But since you have variations in pressure, so the clouds are like, to some extent, are like a hollow inside. So the air blowing across a pressure variant, you end up with noise. So it would be like blowing wind across an open barrel. In terms of the Sevara, Rav Akiva Yaakov makes more sense than Rav Ashi. Because Borik Baraka, Umenahami Anani Vati Mitra. You always see first the flash of lightning, and then you hear the sound of the thunder, and afterwards, in the end, it has an impact on Moses. It implies that certainly the sound is related to the phenomenon of the light of the lightning, and since it rains afterwards, so the mashmaut is that has got to have some impact on the frozen ice that the clouds are holding. Because otherwise, why would it always rain after the thunder? So the only one who gave an explanation of all three elements of the phenomenon was Rabbi Yaakov. When we say ruchot, I mean, what kind of winds do we mean? Omer Abaye Zafa, what we're referring to over here is actual, depending on what hemisphere you're in, cyclones or hurricanes and so on. Rashi brings turbo, there's real serious effects which you see across a wide area of very powerful winds. Because it brings that the normal winds, from the Yerushalmi, the normal winds that you have a nice, beautiful wind storm, and so on that you would say, Baruch Hu Sefer Reshit, but and the Koko Burasa is a question of power that's all over a wide area. We have a Kabbalah that there's no such thing as a cyclone at night. What does that first mean? We always see cyclones at night. No, it doesn't start at night because it needs the temperature variations created by the sun. So who does schooler be a mama? Once the movement begins in the day, it could keep on going for a long time. We also have a Kabbalah that there's no such thing, if you say in one place, there's no such thing as a hurricane that will go on for 2 hours straight. We understand pamayim to be 2 times. There's 2 hours. But for kachazin and dekoy, what do you mean? We often get caught in more than 2 hours. Yes. But the mafsik beni beni, there's always an eye of the storm goes over you in between. So there's always a period of quiet in between, and then you feel winds again. When we say brakim, what do we mean? Now this is very problematic because what do you mean? What do we mean? We've been talking about brakim before in the sugya of the ramim. And anyway, if we mean it, then why do we only say it on the part of the Mishnah that says baruch shekocho gvurato malei olam as if it's a new thing? Now some are masbir that the brakim that we're chayish for over here is that the mashmaut is if it would have been brakim that was together with the ramim, it should have said it ala brakim ala ramim. It says ala ramim ala brakim that we thought that would include even phenomena of light. Barak simply means a burst of light. So maybe kochog v'ratom alei olam we would say even, let's say, on the aurora or on heat lightning, where it's not mechover. So that's why we're wondering what type of barak do you mean over here? In which case, Rava, when he says baraka, isn't really saying anything, because he's just explaining the word barak. But if we understand that to have been the question, then Rava is saying, no. Baraka, indeed, is the lashon over here. Barak includes, the Rashi says baraka means like a sudden bursting out of a river as well, we call baraka. So then he bursts out. Doesn't necessarily have to be in relationship to rain. You know, Omar Rava, nonetheless, you have to be machalic. Because if you have a baraka yechidah, baraka chivra, baraka yurukata, there are different types of phenomena of baraka, where you have sometimes
sometimes you have a heat lightning, but you don't hear any thunder of. It's a general release of energy over a broad area. So you have a light color of barak. We have this greenish barak off in the distance. We have anani desalkin bekeren maravid. You often will see clouds traveling quickly in the west that are coming from the south, out of the south, along the western horizon. Or you see tarki anani desalka. You have two clouds going in opposite directions, obviously on different levels. Chadi la'apichaverta kulhu kashin. All of those are simonim of problematic phenomena. Who cares? We should not bad weather and so on. V'anim ila delaylia. Ananim are only meaningful if they're seen towards the night. Alva b'tzafra letbu mishasha. Ananim in the morning aren't really meaningful. Omer Shmuel bar Yitzchak hami anani d'tzafra letbu mishasha. Indeed, Shmuel bar Yitzchak brought a raya from a pasuk that clouds in the morning don't have much meaning. D'chtiv, because we see when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make fun of Klal Yisrael's great frumkeit, it says chastechem kanan boker. You have these moods where you get a little bit of good things here, there, and so on. It's like clouds in the morning makes you feel there's going to be real excitement coming up, but then it all goes back to nothing. But meanwhile, you see that the remes to a meaningless phenomena is an ane boker. Only Rafapa Abaye. Rafapa asks Abaye, and we know that Rafapa always was the one who uses, as we said, both sides of his mouth. So he took figures of speech to be very important. That was whatever language would develop as a way of saying something is a sign that it's got the cliche doesn't happen unless it's really part of a natural phenomenon. So Rafapa asks Abaye, how can the pasuk say v'chastachem kanan boker? And you're saying that the clouds in the morning don't mean anything when there's a famous saying that goes, "Am is mezin kasha." No, well, that's the kasha of the pasuk. But what about the saying? The saying goes, "Kad miftach bavei mitre bar chamra." When you open up the door in the morning and it's raining, Mr. Truck Driver, "Moch sakecha, take your sleeping bag, vegani, and go back to bed." Meaning that there's going to be rain all the time. There's no point in going out and trying to make some money carrying grain. There's going to be so much rain that basically the grain is going to grow and the prices are going to fall, and now is a lousy time to market. I mean, how would a cliche like that ever, that a dodge like that ever grow if that wasn't the case? And you're saying rain in the morning doesn't mean anything. So why, if I'm a truck driver and I open up the door, should I look at the rain in the morning? It depends. What it's referring to over here is when you open up the door and you look up and there, the sky is filled with these thick clouds. I mean, that's something else. It's kind of storm. We're talking about with the light clouds or vapor that you often see in the morning that burns off once the sun comes out. That's called anane boker. This is talking about Eva boker, the cumulus. That's something else. Omer of Alexandria, Omer of Yeshua Lady. The truth is that lo nivrura amim elan lipshot hakmumiyut shebelev. The only way that we relate to these phenomena are psychologically. They don't serve any purpose in nature. It's just a bunch of noise. It doesn't really do anything. What we're listening to is a phenomena that's an outgrowth of another phenomena that may be important, but it has nothing to do with us. What's the point of the noise? What's the point of the noise that's made? It happens to be that because there's an atmospheric disturbance that's caused by the heat that's generated by the lightning, so you have noise. No, what good is the noise? The only good the noise is, as far as humanity is concerned, is that it makes an impact on you. Scary, wow! So you get a sense of there being power on the earth, which is this bracha kohor grato b'le'alam that makes a person feel a little bit of the smallness that he ought to feel. So it's hoshek akumiyah shibaleh. People tend to become arrogant to take their lives very seriously, and they think they're hatsa. All you have to do is hear a little bit of thunder and jump onto the bed, and you realize you're not such hot stuff. You don't know what's going on, and so it has a very powerful impact on a psychological level. I mean, the amazing thing is that no matter what you know about nature, there are simple impacts of phenomena that still touch you in a very human way, human in the literal sense, in human, in Adama way. So there's always that little tingle, in the middle of the night, and it's thundering and so on. There's something about it. So it's first effect from your triple life. Doesn't matter what it is you know about it. The chelik of the Meisav Bereishis, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, the only reason that he did it is Shiur U'milafanav. There should be a reaction. And you don't have to look on certain phenomena, you don't have to look for any other level besides the psychological one, if that's the case. So then analyze it according to the way in which you psychologically respond best. Umrat Alexandria, Umrat Yeshua Ben Levi. Haro'et HaKeshet Ve'anan. If you see a rainbow through the clouds, which is clearly part of a storm, so it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now showing you the original breath, the symbol of the original breath. So Rikshi Yipol Al Panav. You should fall on his face. Why? Jenemar Kimar'eh Akeshet. Asher Yeba'anan. We're talking now about the Meisam Merkava in Yecheskel. So how does he describe part of the Merkava is the sign, like a rainbow. We saw something similar to a rainbow, which is Ba'anan. Kein Mar'eh HaNogasaviv. That was the light of the glow around the Merkava. And then he says, he himself explains it, Hu Mar'eh D'mut Kvod Hashem. That is a metaphor
therefore, too, the Kvod Shemayim. So if that's the case, you should treat it in that way and do what he did, namely, so I fell on my face in order to be Mechabi Deshkina. And then it says, Veshma Kol Medaber, then I heard the voice of the Nevius. So that's what you should do, too. But Lemaisa Layat Alabama Rav and Eretz Yisrael, they would curse people who do such a thing. Mishum Demix, they command the Sergei Vakashka. It looks like a guy's bowing down to rainbow. I mean, it's ridiculous. Everybody has a sense of a metaphor. They actually will end up bowing down to the rainbow. Abu Bruchi Vadi Mevorek, certainly, even though we don't do that because of the Hakpada in Eretz Yisrael, we do make a brocha on a rainbow because of the Brit. My Mevorek, Boruch Zocher HaBrit. Satana. And then Brisa, Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokus, quoted as saying that the bracha on the rainbow is ne'eman bebrito v'kayam bema'amaro. And of course, Rav Papa, who's got two mouths, says, Yilkav ne'imino letarvayo there. We ought to say both. So we say, Boruch zocher habrit, ve'ne'eman bebrito v'kayam bema'amaro. Continues the Mishnah, and on the harim, and on the gevaot, standing phenomena, you say, Baruch Hosem Ma'aseh Bereshit. Are you telling me that the Kol Hani Damoron and Hashtalav Ma'aseh Bereshit? I don't understand. So why are the things that you mentioned until now, why do we say Kocho Gvurato? I mean, aren't they also Ma'aseh Bereshit? Like you're saying, like, now we're coming to Ma'aseh Bereshit. I mean, doesn't it say, Vachtiv Birakim Lamata Asa? It says Asa, reference Lechora to Ma'aseh Bereshit. It's interesting that there's a whole discussion in the Yavis that the Pasuk that is quoted over here by the Torah Or is the wrong Pasuk. Because he quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, which is Ma'aleh Nisim Kitzeharet, Barakim Lamatarasa, Motzei Ruach Miot Zotav. But that Pasuk never mentions anything about Ma'aseh Bereshit. How do you know that the Oseh over there is Ma'aseh Bereshit? So he claims to talk about the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Lekol Tito Hamon Mayim Bashamayim, which that comes in the context, but right before Oseh Eretz Bekocho. So that's the Beferish referring to Ma'aseh Bereshit. Okay, and that persuasive but cute that we should have actually two circuits. One that comes in the context of Ma'aseh Bereshit's Mamish. So, but in any event, so why should we not look at all of these phenomena as Ma'aseh Bereshit? Omer Abaye Kroch Letzni. Says Abaye, well, you could say both, put them together. In other words, it doesn't mean in the Mishnah that Kochog Ratom Alei Olam as opposed to Ma'aseh Bereshit. Actually, you should say a bracha. Both Baruch Shekochol Ratom Alei Olam Oseh Ma'aseh Bereshit. For others, when you have your choice, which is the Rav Amar, you could say Mevarech Tarte Baruch Shekochol Malei Olam Oseh Ma'aseh Bereshit. There, you could say both, which is Tosfos. Most Rishonim learn one or the other. In other words, you have your choice in something which is Kochog Vurato, which is also a natural phenomena. So let's say on Barak, you could say either Oseh Ma'aseh Bereshit or Kochog Vurato. But these latter things, are only Oseh Ma'aseh Bereshit, but there's no kohog v'ratom alei olam, because they are local phenomena. They don't carry. They don't carry across. It's something that travels far. The noise of the ram impacts you as malei olam. You feel you're far away, and nonetheless you're experiencing this phenomena. So then you only see where you're up close, a mountain or a river and so on. You can't say malei olam. You can only refer to ma'aseh bereshit. L'maisa, it's interesting that we split this because of this weird sack, that it's one or the other. So generally what we do is on the ram, where we have more of a sense of kohach and gvura. So if we would say the Kochog Vurato Malei Olam on the Barak, which says Ma'aseh Bereshit, and that way you can if you have an opportunity to hear the thunder and the thunder, you make the bracha. Then you go out and you look and for the next lightning, you can make both brachas. L'maisa, if you saw both phenomena at once, then we only say the Oseh Ma'aseh Bereshit. You're Yotze. What's the point? Anything that you could see for far away, you would be Yotze to see either way. This became the minute. You don't have to see the actual bolt itself. I mean, I don't know. Rishon Zalman said that the minig is that everybody just makes a bracha drawing enough light. I mean, if they didn't see the actual bolt, there's no real marker for it. I mean, that's the way people do it. I always try to go and see the bolt. Omer Abaye. Well, that's a shaila. They say actually lightning that's not mechuber to ram. You mean not heat lightning? What the Mishnah Berurah calls heat lightning. Okay. Which is more. But there it is mechuber to ram.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But that's also a type of bolt, heat lightning. Just it's over a wider area.
Play game with kids.
But the shaila is what about just counting? But the question is light that is only reflected from the clouds, uh-huh. Where you don't actually see lightning itself. He says that nonetheless people are knowing to make the bracha. Then we have Haro'eh. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Haro'eh Rekia. the Taharata, and you see the sky in all of its beauty, in its clarity, you make the bracha Baruch Hashem Aseh Bereshit. Now, what does that mean in all of its clarity? From Rabbi Ki Atam Nitra Kulei Lailia. It would be at a time where it rained heavily all night long. Ubitzafra Ata Yistana, the wind comes out of the north in the morning. Umegaya Lehule Shemaya, and there you have this sense of absolute crispness. And morning has broken. So that's already a sense of Maaseh Bereshit. Light the first morning. Upligit Rafram Bar Papam Reb Chisda. The Yom Rafram Bar Papam Reb Chisda, this halacha couldn't be true, Bizman Hazar. Because Miyom Shecharav Beit HaMikdash Lo Nir'eit Rekiya B'Taharata. What we think is a crisp, clear morning is actually very overcast. Because we don't know what a crisp morning is. Because from the time of the Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Al Bish Shamayim Kadrut, the Sakasim Ksutam. So if the Shamayim is covered with a Kadrut, then it's clearly not what it was B'Shat Maaseh Bereishis. And therefore, you can't make this bracha B'Taharata. Tana Rabbana, HaRo'er Chama B'Tkufata, Levana B'Gvurata, the kochavim v'mesilotam u'mazalot kisidram. Now this is, there's different girsaot over here. The girl brings the girsa of the rif and the rush, the mishmrotam. Let's go from the levana b'taharata, kochavim v'mishmrotam, mazalot b'itam. The question is, are these separate phenomena or are they all one phenomena? Now our girsa says, what does that mean? So you say Baruch Hashem Bereishis. The emat. What does that mean? Emat habi. When would such an event occur? Now you should know, as Rebbe Kiveger points out, it is clear that the girsa that follows was not extant to the Oruch or to the Gaonim, to the Rav Amram Gaon, because they have a completely different explanation of the Gemara, and it couldn't possibly have had the girsa of Abaye here. So in the Sidur HaGaonim, it says, Betkufata means at Kufat Tammuz, where the sun is very strong. And in the Oruch, it has a pirish that if the sky has been overcast for 3 days and you haven't seen any of the phenomena in the sky, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars, that when it comes back, you make this bracha. So clearly, this the following year, Amar Abaye, this is every 28 years, Ko Chof Chet Shnin, where you have Adar, Marzor, V'Noflat, Kufat, Nisan, V'Shaptai, every 28 years, you have this Marzor, the long Marzor, of 28 years coming back to where it started in the time of the week of Maaseh Bereishis, where you have Shaptai, which is our description of the first hour of the night. So we say basically that Shaptai has shlita over that hour of the night. So then it's Beurta, that's right at the beginning of the fourth day, meaning of Wednesday. So it's Tuesday night when the Tkufa falls out immediately at the beginning of the night, and that takes all of 28 years, assuming that the year is 365 and a quarter days, which is not a good assumption. In other words, being as all of our simple cheshbonos go according to the Tkufa of Shmuel, which is to simplify the solar year into 365 and a quarter days, so then it comes out that you're off basically every year. You're going to be off, since it's 90, we split that, it would be 91 with 7.5 hours, 91 days, 7.5 hours, it would end up to get to the same point in time, exactly at the same date. So in other words, that the sun was created, Yom Ravi, at the beginning of the fourth day, which is right at the beginning of the fourth day. Time it would take to get back, if you keep pushing off each year by that 1.5 hours, it's going to take you 28 years to make an entire week to get directly back to the point that you started at. Understand? Each year you're pushed off in the days of the week. Right, because the 91 days plus hours doesn't give you a whole week, obviously, at the end. Divide this into by 7. Divide your year into 7. So therefore...
Is that taken into account? Is there a difference?
No, that's the problem. So in reality, this doesn't have any meaning, because the year is not 365 and a quarter days. Right? That's the Tkufas Rav Hada, which is more accurate. According to him, you're only pushing off by each year, you're pushing off only 5 hours and 997 chalakim. So according to him, this doesn't work out at all. Everybody asks, so why in the world are we making, and we make a tremendous to-do about this bracha. I mean, this is why, first of all, in the Oruch, the whole concept doesn't appear. In the Sidur HaGaonim, the whole concept doesn't appear. And Birkas Hachama. There's no such thing. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. What is Birkas Hachama? And we saw it very clearly in California last night, 24 years ago. Tavshin Memal was the last time.
And as a matter of fact, we determined at that time that we should all meet at the entrance to the Har Bayit, if you remember, in Tavshin Samachtet, which was a mistake, and I'll tell you why it was a mistake. But it was a big mistake. But basically, Tavshin Samachtet is the next time. But anyways, the question, where does this whole thing come up from? And it's certainly been around for many centuries, because it's mentioned in very, very early writings, Matzah Vitri, that you make a big tumult about this. People gather together, and they make the bracha, and so on, and there's a whole Seder, the Chassam Sefer, there's a whole Seder, which Tehillim you say before, and what Tefillah you say afterwards. It's a major to-do. There's a lot of discussion.
The York Times Synagogue, which really did this announcement, I don't know, 70 years ago.
We have the sign.
It's up. Everybody should remember it's Eric Taser,
right.
Et cetera.
That was 1925. We'll talk about it.
And Arsville sold 70,000 copies of the book
in 1981. Now we understand how it happened. It was the commercial opportunity.
I was just thinking, like, merchandising.
It wasn't.
Sell anything.
The initial line, it was overcast. People saw their tapes, and then waiting for the crowd gathered, and it was dominating. And as they said to Hillel, the sky on the split.
Fantastic. Okay. But in any event, so there's a lot of discussion as to why we would make a bracha that we know is really not a reference to an actual phenomenon. And again, it's very fascinating, because this is Shulag Abed, the Mamish La'alotha. Like when you say Tein Talu Motor, when you say the Tein Brachan, it's a, you know, when you would just be Chazer and Yishmon Esri, where again we ignore the actuality, you know, unless you're living in Chutz Laaretz, you're not going according to the, you're going according to the, but very strange. So the Achronim, the Poskim, the Kerem Lishul Kanarach, again point out that these brachot are not meant to be real. They're meant to be psychological. It's like the Dreva Shekhiyana. Nothing to do with reality. There's a tiny Shekhiyana. You should only make a Shekhiyana things that are Nagir Zman. But I mean, if you buy something new, why should you make a, what does that have to do with Shekhiyana? Again, it's clear. The whole idea is, as we'll see in the Tzugi coming up, the whole idea is, what do I respond to psychologically as having an impact on me? So since there's clearly a reason why on the simplest level we should respond to the solar year in a way that a simple human being responds, which is that he sees that it's 365 and a quarter days. In his limited experience, he's not going to notice the type of change that's one day over a century, unless he's very, very machbed, which keeps an instrument that is, gives him a precise marking. But without instruments, this is the way a human being sees the year. We relate to the world with that level of itpa'alut, and therefore we should make the bracha anyway, even though we know inside of ourselves it doesn't really mean anything in particular. But what's fascinating is that this particular event that's coming up, and the one that Barnea is referring to, traditional like this one, were actually very unique events. Why? Because if you take a look from Maaseh Bereishis until Tavshin Samachet coming up, the only time that the Birkat HaChama comes out on Erev Pesach was the year of Yitziat Mitzrayim itself, the year of Purim, was Mordechai Ben, which is Milchas Gula, which is fascinating, and for some crazy reason, 1925, which everybody, you know, I don't know what to say over there, Rabbi Shlomo Disk, because some of them are far from Tana, because it's Erev Pesach, you should not make a big tumult, because you may end up being a Toshea in some of your Pesach preparations there. Like, we made up to meet up. What's going to happen? Everybody has to bring their Kofim Pesach. Or they're going to wait up, wait for other members of a Chabur. They don't know if they're showing, they're not showing. So it's not a good idea. We didn't realize in 1981 was going to come up on Erev Pesach. We make the Chedim. Turns out it's coming out on Erev Pesach. That's a good idea.
In 4 years?
No. I'm saying, fuck carrots. Yeah, so bad. Because you'll be pushing on your Kofim Pesach, waiting for your friends to come.
But they asked me to be lying.
The Zohar Malut song, but then going to take care of everything on the other work.
Hey. Oh, I see. Look, the guy can handle it, but the carbon they can't handle.
Yeah,
the carbon.
Yeah.
But everything else, the alignment of the solar and lunar calendars, the focus that was left, and the solar year focused on.
It's very like a Pesach. Unbelievable.
As soon as the Molad we announced in the shul, it has nothing to do with the Molad.
That's right.
It's on the back page.
It's nothing to do with the
Molad.
Yeah, we tell them, we say what it is.
We stick with the Molad Emtzei, the mean Molad. The actual Molad is different every single month. Again, because the moon doesn't go around the Earth. That's the problem. The moon and the Earth go around the common center of gravity, which is because of the very large mass of the moon. Compared to most moons, obviously. The large mass of the moon compared to the Earth means you can't get a strictly well-defined orbit.
The moon does not orbit the Earth.
Well, strictly speaking, no one thing orbits another thing. Even the Earth doesn't orbit the sun, because there's a slight gravitational, obviously, there's a center of gravity, right? Center of gravity, however, in the sun-Earth configuration is almost at the center of the sun, because the Earth weighs almost nothing compared to the sun. But when you're talking about the moon and the Earth, You always go around a common center of gravity. There's no such thing as one thing being affected by gravity and not the other thing.
You grew up in Canada.
Right. I'm sorry. When you have two things that have mass, both attract each other, correct? Okay, so it's like saying, who gets hit harder in an accident, the Mack truck or the bug. They both get hit exactly the same way.
Which lies farther?
That's something else. So over here, the Earth and the Sun affect each other. The only thing is that the impact of the Earth's attraction on the Sun is basically negligible because the Sun is so much larger than the Earth. It doesn't move it significantly. By the way, that some impact of the planets on the Sun would be sufficient for an observer outside of the solar system to be able to infer the presence of the planets, which is how we discover many of the planets outside of our own solar system, because the Sun moves, the star will move. But in any event, when you have the Earth and the Moon, which are basically close to each other's value in terms of normal satellites, close to each other's value in mass, the Moon has a very significant effect on the Earth. So that the center of gravity, even though it's still within the diameter of the Earth, is sufficiently close to the surface of the Earth that it creates a lot of confusion in analyzing where the Moon is going to be seen from the Earth. So I have that beautiful cute Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, you know, where the Moon picks up the phone and throws at the Moon and says, get out of here, you're not supposed to be here today. That's the Shemesh Yadan Mibo'o. The Sun knows where it's going, but not the Moon. So that's it. We have a very complex kind of interrelationship. The Omer Omi Baraba Omer. Oh, what's I skipped here? Sorry. I read Yudomer Haroa Ayam Hagadol. And only if Yuroa Liprakim. We mentioned that some learning of the Prakim goes back on many of these phenomena. So Liprakim at Kama, what's considered to be from time to time? Omer Rami Barab, Omer Ditzachat Shloshim Yom. It means 30 days. Remember, we had a machlokas whether the Yam HaGadol is a reference to, as the Shulchan Aruch says, the Yam that is Gadol al Shem Eretz Yisrael, that is the Mediterranean, or whether the Yam HaGadol is the oceans, and therefore the suggestion is that because of the suffix, we should say Bimah Sebre Sheet on both. And Rich Lehman Zalman, which you can add on the Mediterranean, here's a semester break sheet, let's say Yamagato.
What if you're standing
there
in Gibraltar?
There you are. That's the best solution, absolutely. That's why they call it the rock. Sur Yalot Chateshi. Okay. So there you have the Brocha at Shloshim Yom. Of course, it doesn't mean Shloshim Yom to Amiras HaBrocha. I mean Shloshim Yom from the time that you saw the Yam. If you see it during the 30 days, you can't make a Brocha at the end of 30 days from the first Brocha. I mean, you would never make the Brocha if you keep seeing it within Shloshim Yom. As a matter of fact, by the way, this Tam, a very important Nakuda, that someone who lived in such a situation, somebody who lives by the sea, and he wasn't out for 30 days, he would not make a Brocha. Somebody who lives in Yerushalayim would not make a Brocha at not seeing the Kotel for 30 days.
Right.
Yeah, because the idea of it is very similar to the idea of the Shefianu, when you see your friend, but you haven't seen him. If that's he's living right. Next door, and you haven't bumped into him, nobody says you should make a Shefianu. The person is away, then there's a sense of renewal. When you're still in a place, you'll notice this phenomenon. You might have been away for years. You come back, the first few people you see is new, and then somehow everything just settles back the way it was. You'll meet somebody afterwards, I haven't seen you in 15 years, and they'll say, wow, where have you been? And like, to you, it's, you know, good morning. So it's you immediately go back into what you were, so you lack that level of its pa'alut.
That happens here when somebody moves from one part of the neighborhood to another. You see them every day. And then they move to a different part of the road.
It might as well be across
and
the ocean.
6 months later, you've been away? You haven't seen them.
So Richie would say, well,
Richie, I know you're listening. I won't tell you who said that.
So you're saying that applies in terms of tearing Korea and medical
center? Right.
You know, so if you come back
there wouldn't be the sense of it pa'alut. No, it could be if you were away, that might be different. But if you just didn't go down to the coast, if you see the river Prat, you see the Euphrates, over the famous bubble bridge, you say Baruch Hoseh Bereshit, but you can't say it beneath that point because the bridge, it's actually a dam, has changed the flow of the Prat. Therefore, it's no longer Hoseh Maaseh Bereshit. The Aida, as a matter of fact, nowadays, because it's nowadays in terms of the Gemara, nowadays that the Persians have wrecked it by building more dams upriver, you'd have to be above Beis Shvor in order to be able to make the bracha, because anything below that has had the flow of the prat changed. And Rabbi Yossi says, well, now it's from E to Kira and above. The Omer Rami Bar Abba, by the way, this is Nogea very much the question of whether this was only a reference, I mentioned to you when we read the Mishnah, is this only a reference to the Arba Neharot that are mentioned in Gan Eden, or is any large Nahar a Baruch Hoseh Bereshit? Many taina that there's been so many changes in the flow of rivers. I mean, the Mississippi has got like 50 different old deltas. It changes all the time. And so therefore you can't make Osa Maisa Bereshis, that you should be Mitzaret, the suffix of Osa Maisa Bereshis, on other rivers because you have no idea if it's really the original way that the river was at the time of Maisa Bereshis.
Is it subject to rainfall?
As a matter of fact, some taina, you can't say Osa Maisa Bereshis on the Mediterranean. Because the Mediterranean was a result of, according to Medrash, the result of a catastrophic tsunami at the time of the Dor HaMavol, and therefore, like the Dor Enosh, not Dor HaMavol, and therefore it wasn't really from the time of Maizah Bereishis. And so we don't... Yomer Ami Bar Abba.
Don't consider that as part of the process of
Bereishis? No, not once it's part of human history. Whatever's part of human history already, we're not in the spoil on as Maizah Bereishis. That's part of being human also, right? That silly idea we have to send out things out once we're here. Yomer Ami Bar Abba. Haloed Diglat Adirshua Deshabistana. If you see the Diglat River, what's the Diglat amount of terms? Yeah, but what's that in English?
Tigris.
They
call it Diglat.
Huh?
They call it Diglat.
There they call it Diglat. I don't live there. Oh, he does. I forgot. It's a river in Barnea's neighborhood.
Remember the Sakha they call it?
I remember. Yeah.
And the Turks are making dams all over the place.
Yes,
so yeah. Below one
day. I got a call from a phone. How do you phrase these Barnea in his neighborhood needs to know whether he should make a brocker at this point?
Right. And
this immediately again. Yep. So there too, you can make a Baruch Oseh Bereishis. Why is it called the Chidekel? That's a notion of Chad and Kal. Amar Ravashi, Shmeimav Chadin VeKalim. The water over there is sharp, and it's also light. So that's not heavily, not a lot of minerals there, and very good water. Why is it called Prat Shmeimav Parim VeRavim? Because it constantly, water constantly grows and draws from a lot of places. Say if it rains even in Eretz Yisrael, you see the effect on the Prat. Yomar Rava Haida Harifi B'nei Mechuzah. You know why B'nei Mechuzah are so smart? They drink the Maya of the Diglas. Not really smart, they're clever. So it's chadim, you know. Why the gichuri? You know why they're so ruddy? Bishop the meshamsh may be a mama. They reproduce in the daytime, so they got the ruddy sun on them. Why the night? You know why they squint all the time? They keep their houses covered because of the sun. So they die with a bayat afel. Whenever they get out into the sun, they're always squinting. And he wasn't in favor of B'nai Mechuzah too much, but they didn't like him either, you gotta remember. Al ha-gishamim. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah says, Al ha-gishamim, you're supposed to say, Atova ha-meitiv. Is that true? What's the shiur, first of all, about when you make a bracha on the gishamim? When you have enough water that when a drop falls, drops rise to meet it, so it flashes up. We know we view this as chatan v'kala, that's why the Gemara says it's called rovesh, roveya takarka. So we see it as a metaphor of chasim v'kala. Mayim v'varchim, what's the bracha that you say? And this is the kasha part. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, and this is very different than saying atova mitim, modim anaknu lach, al kol tipa v'tipa, shorad et alamim. We are grateful for every single drop that you give us. Rabbi Yochanan of Asayim Ba'avi, Rabbi Yochanan says, that's not the whole bracha. You have to continue on to say, Ilu pinu malei shiraka yam l'shanin rinaka mongalav, etc., etc., etc. You say the whole nishmat, until you get to Ein anu mazbikim lo dotach Hashem lokeinu, and you go on to Baruch Ata Hashem, rov ha'odaot. Rov ha'odaot? That's all you say? Rov ha'odaot? I mean, rov ha'odaot means, of course, the lashon of ribui, many hodaot. But it sounds like you're saying, but most of the things that we could be modeh, maybe not all the things, but kol hodaot. But again, if I would just say kol hodaot, it wouldn't be saying that there's a lot. So what do I do? Amarava imat pa'ela hodaot. So say, ela hodaot, says Rapapa. Well, of course, you're because the mila tarvayer. Therefore, we should say both. So we say rov ha'odaot, va'ela ha'odaot, which is why we say in the rov ha'tishpachot, kel ha'odaot, in our yishtabach, part of this. It's interesting that the Rambam brings that the B'nai Ashkenaz are not knowing to make this bracha, because they live in European countries, where it rains all the time. Since it rains all the time, they never really enjoy the Gesha. Like, look at Enya on a rainy day. I mean, what are you going to do in Ireland? Huh?
They're only happy when it stops.
No, happy when it stops.
The sun comes out. Yeah.
So this sort of went out of use. See, and even as some say, even in those lands where there's rainy seasons, the most people don't really have a real hot car stove for gishamim unless it's been dry, if it's been a dry season. But Lamaisa, I mean, Yikradin, of course, people that really have a sense of the value of rain. Make the bracha b'zman hazeh.
We should say this once again, the first rain, the whole thing, the nishmas.
Why not? Yeah.
After
drought
for sure.
Omer of Papa, Yochafim Nimutabai. Anyway, what do we do with the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, we're supposed to say Atuva Amitif, and here it gives a whole different bracha. Velakasha. Not Velakasha, there's two different dinim. There's the dinim on Shmuot, and then there's the dinim, special dinim Riyah. So when we say, you say Atuva Amitif, it's like Shmuot Atuva. You say, Hadashama Mishma, Hadachazim Nitzah. There's a difference when you see something or when you just hear about it. No, wait. So then you're telling me the Shama Mishma, you heard about it, that's no different than the other Shmuel Tovot. And the Mishnah already said, Al Shmuel Tovot. Al Besurot Tovot, basically. You're supposed to say, Baruch HaTova Meitiv. So then why would I have to mention this particular Besurot Tova? It's only a Besurot Tova like any Besurot Tova. It's not a Besurot Tova, Tomer Baruch HaTova Meitiv. So that teretz doesn't make sense. You're right. Both of these can't be talking about the surot. They have to be talking about a personal scene of the event. And nonetheless, lokasha, hada'ata purta, hada'ata tuva. If a little bit of rain comes, and this is a relief from the dryness, then you talk about how kol tipa v'tipa, every drop means something to us. Where it's pouring and it's going to make a big difference to agriculture. Then you say hatov amiti, because that's more than just on the actual chesed of the rainfall, which we experience very profoundly. That's something that's caressing, that's close, that's intimate. But it may not have much of an impact on agriculture if it's just a little bit of a rain.
What?
Well, in our terms, maybe we shouldn't make the broch in your rain. Viba is ema. Hava adata tuva. Especially since we know now how to make it rain without any problems at all. It's no longer seen as a chesed shemayim. You know, you just wash your windows of your car.
Yeah, right.
Viba is ema. Hava adata tuva. It could be talking about either case, where there's a lot of rain. The lokasha, the layara, the layara, it depends if you're a farmer. If you're a farmer, then you have to have tov amiti. Because then you're talking about the impact that it has on you and your whole parnas and so on. If you're not a farmer, you're making a brach on the general love of the rain, then it's hakol tipa v'tipa. Or, so, wait, now you're saying that if you own land, you say hatov ametiv, that's also a problem. So, Zatanya bana bayit chadash, v'kana kelim chadashim, omer baruch shechiyano v'kiyamanu v'giyano lazman hazeh. However, if you have now the other people involved, so then you say atov amitiv. Oh, okay, fine. Lokasha adita shutafut, or the lefei shutafut. The difference would be if you have a shutaf, so then you say atov amitiv. But if not, then indeed you wouldn't say atov amitiv, and you would say the modi manakulok. Now the truth is, the girsa is very strange because it seems to be mistaken. And both Rashi, the Gro over here also, Mitzayim the girsa that this piece over here that says Shalom v'shalachirim Omer HaTov HaMetiv doesn't appear here because this is the Gemara's Teretz, how they eat Leish Shutafut, how they let Leish Shutafut. And therefore, Rashi says that the whole thing, starting on, we don't reinsert, he had a Gersh where they actually reinserted Hava Hadid Le'ara. In other words, he's saying like this. You can take a look in your Rashi, five lines up from the big lines. We said before the answer, and we're keeping that answer. We're going back to what we said before. What about your kasha bona bayit chadash? You're supposed to say shechiyanu. Why don't you say shechiyanu? Therefore, here too, even if you have a ara, lo kasha ruda bona she'en lo shutafut. There, if you only have one person who owns it, say baruch shechiyanu. Gishamim is talking about where you have other people, so you have a shutafut in the land. If you have a shutafut, everybody who owns the land is a shutaf. They're all part of Hatov HaMetiv. So the difference is Shechiyanu is personal. Hatov means totally Metiv L'Acherim. So there's other people that are being Nene as well. So then I'm being Mavarek for everybody.
It doesn't have to be shared on my land. It's
the
sharing.
That's the problem. The Taina on Rashi is there's always somebody else who owns land.
So
I believe yes. I believe that's what he means. Kol mi sheyesh lo karka shutafimo. So in other words, going back to the case before. Case before where you have a house. If you got a house on your own, it's Shechiyanu. If you have a house that somebody else is, you're Shutaf. It's Hatov HaMetiv. On land, there's always going to be somebody who's a Shutaf. If you're being a broch on your land, why aren't you happy for the other people's land? So therefore, we don't even mention Shechiyanu for sure, you would say. Hatov HaMetiv. That seems to be the question of Shad Nesudra. Says now the Gemara. So now you're telling me that you can't say Hatov HaMetiv if there's not other people that are going to have the same pleasure you are? Go ahead, let the Lachmina Badei, Loma Baruch Hatov the guy hears that he just had a son, so he should say Baruch Atov Ametiv. I mean, the hope is that nobody was a shutaf with him in this, so that therefore he's the only father. Yeah, but he does have a mother. I mean, isn't she happy? But she only likes having girls. I mean, she would also be happy in having a son, and therefore you say Atov Ametiv. The Nechala B'Zachar, she's also happy in having a son, no? Tashma, mate aviv hu yorsho. If someone's father died, and he's also inheriting him, so you should first say Baruch Dayan Emet, or the Besofo Baruch Atov Amitiv. You have to make a bracha on the Yerusha. But you first make a bracha on the death. Now why are you saying Atov Amitiv? You should say Shechiyanu on the Yerusha. Answers the Gemara. You are not the soul your age. If there's other brothers that are going to stand to inherit a fortune, so you're saying Atov Amitiv for them as well? Tashma.
If not,
you don't say Atov Amitiv. Jeffrey Yonelama. Plus, Shlomo Zalman points out, the way they do things around here, they don't let you make the bracha of Diana Annette until the funeral. So he says, according to this, a guy will make, oh, Shekhiyano. It's not a guy. He only makes a Shekhiyano. He'll make the Diana Annette later at the funeral. He says, ain't like a Lloyd of a rash, go on me say. He suggests, under those circumstances, ignoring the Chavre Kadisha.
Usually they file Yerusha in court settings.
That's also true. But that's coming out to the next figure. Actually, we'll see tomorrow that there's a tova that is the end ra and ra that's in the end tov. And so now you relate to what's in front of you, not to the court case of the government. That's another problem. We talk about winning the lottery. You make a Diana MS, become the IRS.
I should be zochet to have that problem.
Well, a lot of people thought that it ended up committing suicide. Yeah, it's not. Well, it's not so funny.
Yeah. I made an arrangement with the lawyer with this with the Yushayi. Right, it's not
Achi Bahadei,
but there's another
Yoresh.
Would also be a
Tzavah. That's Bahadei? Okay. Yeah. So touch Shinu Yain ain't Tzarek Lavarech, Shinu Makom. If you change the wine on the table, you don't have to make another bracha. But if you change the place where you ate, you have to make another bracha. That's a reference to Borei Pri Hagefen. You don't say another Borei Pri Hagefen just because you have new wine now at the table. You're getting see. But you still have to make Atova Ametiv. Avalomer Baruch Atova Ametiv. So why are you saying Atova Ametiv if you're drinking? Ah, come on, nobody drinks alone. Nazanami, Tikvanecha Bura, the Shatu Bade. Obviously, there's people that are. I mean, that's the only reason I'm drinking. It's social drinking, you know. You'd never find me doing this all on my own. So because of that, you would always make Atova Ametiv. Here's a big question. Is the Tova Ametiv on the different wine? Or is the Tova Ametiv Dafka on a better wine? This brings a number of different shitas over here. And he brings the Rashbam shita that's Dafka if the second wine is better than the first time. But if it's the same, why would you even worry about Tova Ametiv? And Rabbi Natan says, as long as it's not much worse. Oh, well, no, we didn't finish yet. Maybe we did finish. Pretty late.
Rashi doesn't have a comment on the wine.
You think so, huh? Close to his heart.
But there's an example of not drinking wine with coin.